Rushdoony Radio presents An Informed Faith, The Position Papers of R. J. Rushdoony by Rufus John Rushdoony, narrated by Nathan F. Conkey, produced with permission by the Chalcedon Foundation. 6. The New Racism, Chalcedon Position Paper No. 14, July 1980. Racism is a relatively new fact on the world scene. In earlier eras, not race, but religion was the basis of discrimination. Although religious history has been marred by ugly violence against other religious groups, and the history of the Christian Church is no exception to this, there is a notable fact which is often forgotten. Missionary faiths, and supremely Christianity, normally seek to win other groups, not oppress them. This missionary impulse has also provided, in many eras, a favourable cause for a friendly approach. In the modern era, as Christianity's influence receded and science began to govern together with humanism, biology came to predominate over theology. The differences between men were seen increasingly as biological and racial rather than religious. The earlier physical anthropologies made very precise and detailed physical studies of all peoples in order to establish the physical differences between races. The theory of evolution fueled this developing scientific racism and added still another important factor. Many theories began to hold to multiple origins for the human race, whereas in scripture, all men are descendants of Adam. In evolutionary thought, all men are possibly descendants of very differing evolutionary sources. Common descent in Adam meant a common creation, nature, and responsibility under God. The idea of multiple origins proved divisive. The human race was no longer the human race. It was a collection of possibly human races, a very different doctrine. It is important to recognize that racism was, in origin, a scientific doctrine. Whenever a scientific doctrine is discarded, as witness the idea of the acquired inheritance of environmental influence, the old scientific doctrine, as it lingers on in popular thought, is blamed on religion or popular superstition. The origins of racism are in very highly respectable scientific theorists. The fact that men like Houston Stuart Chamberlain, 1855 to 1927, a British admiral's son and son-in-law of Richard Wagner, took this scientific literature to develop what became the foundations of Nazi thought does not eliminate its scientific origins. The defeat of the Nazis did not end racism. Instead, it has again become respectable and widespread. We must remember that studies of Hitler's Germany indicate that his support came from liberals, Democrats, socialists, and the intellectual community. Scholars like Erich von Kulent-Leddin have ably exposed the myth of a conservative or rightist origin for Hitler's support. The fact of Hitler's antipathy to Christianity helped enlist support for him. The new racism is widespread and common to many peoples and to every continent. It has now become a part also of the religious vocabulary of many churchmen. Thus, in almost every seminary today, pompous professors rail against a missions program which would export, quote, the white mentality, end quote, and European modes of thought. What is the white mentality? And what is the European mode of thought, as against the human, common to all men? If it is specifically white and European, it must be common to the pre-Christian European as a racial factor. The pre-Christian Saxons, for example, practice human sacrifice and more. Much more could be said about pre-Christian Europeans, but I have no desire to be flooded with angry letters, which I will discard without answer. No race born of Adam has a good history. This is the biblical fact and the historical fact. The Western mind, common to Europe and the Americas, is a product not of race, but of culture, religious culture. Elements of it, none too good, go back to the barbarian peoples of Europe. Other aspects are from Greek philosophy, again, none too good. The Greeks described all non-Greeks as barbarians on cultural, not racist grounds. They gave brilliant and inventive slaves a Greek name and status. The Western mind and culture, in all its advances, is a product of biblical religion. It is a religious, not a racial, product. A generation ago, a pope with humane intentions said, quote, "Spiritually, we are all Semites," end quote. Despite his humane intentions, he was wrong. Arabs are Semites, but we are not Arabic in our faith and culture. He would have been equally wrong had he said Hebrews or Jews. The culture of the West is not the property of any race or people in its origin. It is biblical. True, much sin is present in Western culture. True, such sin needs to be condemned. But the mind of the West bears the imprint of the Bible. It is not understandable on any other terms. Today, however, men speak of the white mentality, the Asiatic soul, and the African mind. Some educators are insistent on the need to recognize and give status in the schools to what they call, quote, "black English," end quote. Implicit in all of this is a racist view of man. Races are seen as the sources of varying kinds of logic and reason. To deny the validity of the concept of a white mind, an African mind, or an Asiatic mind is seen as reactionary, imperialistic, and evil. The mentality of a people, however, is not a product of race, but of religion, and the culture of that religion. The key factor is always religion. There is a hidden but insane pride among those who oppose exporting the white mentality. Although such men would never dare say it explicitly or even think it, what they are saying implicitly is that other races are not up to comprehending the white mentality. One brilliant black student told me with wry humour that he could always count on a high grade for minimum work from a white liberal professor. The man would regard him as inferior, but would never have the courage to admit as much and would accordingly give him a good grade. All talk of differing mentalities has a patronising perspective. It also says that race, not sin, is the problem of other peoples and their cultures. Because of the new racism, we now have a growing body of religious literature aimed at the seminary student, pastor and missionary, which talks about contextualisation. Supposedly, the only way to communicate the gospel to other races is by giving priority to the context over biblical faith and confessional statements. The impetus for contextualisation has come from the Theological Education Fund, set up in 1957 by the Rockefeller Foundation. Contextualisation calls also for an emphasis on the struggle for justice in terms of, quote, liberation theology, a form of Marxism, and existentialistic responses to the historical moments in the Third World. Contextualization places a heavy emphasis on human need rather than on God's infallible word. Its mission is thus contemporary and social, not theological and supernatural. Contextualists of all theological stripes shift their language from that of Scripture to the jargon spawned by the Theological Education Fund. Closely related to this in the area of Bible translations is the dynamic equivalence theory, now common to most Bible societies and translation groups. This doctrine, of which Eugene A. Nida is an exponent, quote, translates, end quote, the Bible into a culture and its ideas. This can mean giving an historical account a psychoanalytic or mythological meaning. Instead of reshaping the culture, the Bible is, quote, translated, end quote, into the culture. Such a doctrine makes the culture, in effect, the unerring word, not the Bible. The culture thus corrects or amends the Bible, not the Bible culture. As Jacob van Bruggen in The Future of the Bible points out, quote, the dynamic equivalence theory owes its influence and effect to the blending of modern theological prejudices regarding the Bible with data borrowed from communication theory, cultural anthropology, and modern sociology, rather than to insights from linguistics, end quote. Thomas Nelson, Inc., 1978, page 151. The implications of this new racism are far-reaching. Instead of working to change a people, we have a static and racist view of people and their culture. It is the Bible and the mission which must change, not the people. We must teach a, quote, black English, end quote, if any at all, and a black, brown, or yellow Christianity, if any at all. It takes only a brief excursion into, quote, liberation theology, end quote, contextualization, and like doctrines, to realize that it is not Christianity at all which is taught, but a counterfeit. Relevance is sought, not the Lord and his word, but to fallen man and his racial heritage. Such is not the gospel. It is the new racism. The new racism passes, however, for vital, relevant Christianity. It is widely promoted by seminaries and missionary organizations. It encourages races, like individuals, to trumpet the existentialist and hippie slogan, quote, I want to be me, end quote. The historical goal is racial realization. Providentially, the early missionaries to Europe coming from North Africa, Asia Minor, and the Mediterranean world generally had no such regard for the European mind. They regarded it as unregenerate and in need of being broken and redeemed. All the plagues and evils of, quote, the European mind, end quote, are products of the fallen man and the relics of barbarian cultures, not of Christ and his word. All that is good in, quote, the European mind, end quote, is a result of Christian culture, not of race. The words of Paul are a sharp rebuke to all who want men to glory in their blood, race, or history. Quote, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? End quote. 1 Corinthians 4, 7. Well done for listening all the way to the end. This is Nathan, the narrator, speaking to you from Puebla, Mexico, from the Faith for All of Life school in which I teach English as a volunteer. I teach from kinder through high school. Now, I rely on donations in order to keep teaching and recording, so if you want to support a Faith for All of Life school in Latin America and want to keep listening to Rush Dooney while you vacuum, drive or cook, commute or whatever you're doing right now, donate at ctn.org/Nathan Conkey. That's NathanConkey, all lowercase. Or if you prefer PayPal, paypal.me/NNathan, CConkey. You can also email me at nfconkey, that's nfconkey@gmail.com. Thanks, and I look forward to speaking to you very soon.